Hello, I'm R.A. Spratt. I write and perform this podcast. If you'd like to support the show, I'm a children's author, so you can buy a book by me, or you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. It's an easy way to make a small thank you gift to the show so I can keep kicking this can down the road. The podcast directory you're using right now should have a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page in the show notes, or you can type it into your browser. That's buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. All contributions are gratefully appreciated. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Okay, so let's get into it. Before we do, what do I need to tell you? Not much. If you want to check out what I'm up to, you can go to my website, raspratt.com. It's got all my upcoming live events there. The only other thing I wanted to mention was, if you hear hammering in the background while I'm telling the story today, that's because there is hammering in the background. One of my neighbors is renovating their house, but you know, good for them. It's quite an old house, like 120 plus years old, and it needs a bit of work. So they've been very good. No power tools today. It's just a hammer. So I think we can just plow on through that. So let's get into it. I'm going to tell you a story today that I was told when I was on a trip to Singapore with my kids. My brother lives in Singapore with his family, so we were over visiting them, and we did this amazing food tour of the little India and Chinatown parts of Singapore. And the host that took us around all these places, she told us this story while we were getting the metro, the train trip from little India to Chinatown. So anyway, I am going to share the story with you. So here we go. The Great Race, as told by Nanny Piggins. When Derek, Samantha, and Michael came home from school, they were met at the door by the most delicious smell. This was one of the many benefits of living with the most naturally talented amateur pastry chef in the world. That and eating the amateur pastries she created. They could hear Nanny Piggins clattering about in the kitchen at the far end of the house. "We're home," called Derek. "Excellent," bellowed Nanny Piggins. "I'm in the kitchen. Bring your taste buds." The children needed no further encouragement. They often opened the front door to be greeted by the smell of chocolate cake or lemon cake or coffee cake or sponge cake or angel cake or treacle cake or one of the thousands of other cakes Nanny Piggins knew how to bake. But today's baking smells smelled different. There was something unusual about the sugary, spicy goodness wafting through their house. Something ricey. The Green children had become quite the connoisseurs of baking smells since Nanny Piggins had come to live with them. They hurried through their home to see for themselves what it was. When they burst into the kitchen, they were greeted by Nanny Piggins glowing. With a type of radiant triumph, she only glowed when she'd baked something truly magnificent. "Sing Yan Hao!" she cried. "I beg your pardon?" asked Derek, wondering if the smell had affected his ears. "Sing Yan Hao!" repeated Nanny Piggins. "I'm saying New Year goodness in Chinese." "Why are you wishing us New Year goodness in Chinese?" asked Michael. "Lunar New Year isn't for months yet. Regular 1st of January New Year comes first, and that's months away too." "Yes, but we must not rest on our laurels," said Nanny Piggins. "When Chinese New Year comes, we must be ready. We must practice." "Practice what?" asked Derek. He was already imagining his nanny insisting he get dressed up in a lion dancing suit. "Making Chinese New Year cake, of course," exclaimed Nanny Piggins. "Oh," said the children, finally catching on. "I would hate to get to Chinese New Year and have forgotten how to make Niang Gao," said Daddy Piggins. "What's Niang Gao?" asked Samantha. "That's Chinese for Chinese New Year cake," said Nanny Piggins. "I do apologise. Just the thought of eating Chinese New Year cake makes me start speaking Chinese." "I didn't know you celebrated Chinese New Year," said Samantha. "Actually, I celebrate Lunar New Year," said Nanny Piggins, "because I don't like to miss out on the cakes from all the other countries that celebrate Lunar New Year. But today, I'm specifically baking Chinese New Year cake." "But you don't usually celebrate any of the holidays," said Derek, "because the ringmaster never let you when you lived at the circus." "Oh, but every member of the Piggins family celebrates Chinese New Year," said Nanny Piggins. "Really?" said Michael. "They do?" "Yes, because a Piggins was there when the Chinese calendar was first invented," said Nanny Piggins. "Okay, you're going to have to tell us the whole story," said Derek. "All right, I will," said Nanny Piggins. "That'll help us pass the time while the Niang Gao bakes." "Our story begins many years ago, back in the ancient Chinese story days, said Nanny Piggins. How many years ago was that? Asked Derek. Well, the Jade Emperor lived for 327,000 million years, so I'm not exactly sure, said Nanny Piggins, but definitely a long time in the past. In fact, that was part of the problem. It's very hard to keep track of dates when you're hundreds of millions of years old and the calendar hasn't been invented yet. The children were momentarily bamboozled trying to wrap their minds around this concept, so Nanny Piggins ploughed on with her story. Anyway, the Jade Emperor's birthday was coming up. Gosh, it'd be hard sticking 327,000 million candles in one cake, said Michael. Not if the cake was big enough, said Nanny Piggins. Michael nodded at the wisdom of this. To keep track of important things like birthdays and how many candles were needed, the Jade Emperor, being really, really wise, decided he would invent a calendar. So he invited all the animals to come to his birthday party. He invited animals to his birthday party? Queried Michael. What's wrong with that? Asked Nanny Piggins. I am an animal, and I get invited to birthday parties all the time. In fact, at many of the human parties I've been to, the best bit by far has been the animals in attendance. The donkeys providing the donkey rides, the snakes putting on the snake show. Oh, yeah, the snake show at Samson Wallace's party was especially good, agreed Michael, especially after you taught the snakes how to hula dance. Exactly, agreed Nanny Piggins. So the Jade Emperor invited his best animal friends to come. The dog, the goat, the monkey, the cat, the dragon, the ox, the rat, the tiger, the horse, the snake, the rooster, the rabbit, and the pig. But hang on, dragons aren't real, said Samantha. Ha! Said Nanny Piggins. Try telling that to a Komodo dragon next time you're in Indonesia. So when all the guests were assembled, the Jade Emperor told the animals about his amazing calendar idea. He explained that he wanted a calendar where each year was named after an animal, and then those years would cycle around in the same order time and time again. The animals all thought this was lovely, said Nanny Piggins, except for the one troublesome animal. Oh, let me guess, it was a tiger, wasn't it, said Michael. No, said Nanny Piggins. Was it the snake? Asked Samantha. No, said Nanny Piggins. The goat? Asked Derek. No, said Nanny Piggins. It was the pig. The pig! Exclaimed the children. But I thought it was one of your distant relatives, said Derek. Wasn't she fabulous and athletic and impressive in every way, like all your other relatives are? Asked Michael. No, because it wasn't one of my distant female relatives. It was one of the male relatives, said Nanny Piggins. It was my great-great-great-great times 389 greats cousin, Bramwell Piggins. He is the 27th Bramwell in the Piggins family since we started keeping records of them all for our own safety. And he was just as no good as the current Bramwell Piggins, your brother? Asked Michael. I'm afraid so, said Nanny Piggins. The no good wastrel genes are strong on the male side of our family. Anyway, this ancient Chinese Bramwell asked, but how will you decide the order for the years on the calendar? Which, to be fair, is actually an intelligent question, but he was not going to like the Jade Emperor's idea. I will decide the order of the years by holding a race, announced the Jade Emperor. What sort of race? Asked the cat. She was not a great fan of racing herself. Will it be an eating race? Asked Bramwell optimistically. No, said the Jade Emperor. That would be undignified. We are inventing a calendar system that will be used for all of time. We can't decide it using something so silly. Oh, dear, said Samantha. I know, said Nanny Piggins. The Jade Emperor was a wonderful fellow in most ways, but he totally had his priorities wrong when it came to the importance of food. But we won't hold that against him. He had another idea. You will each have a year named after you, explained the Jade Emperor. The order will be decided by the order in which you finish the race. You'll have to run to the river, swim across, then run up the far bank to meet me at the finishing line. The animals looked at the proposed racetrack. The river was hundreds of metres away, and then the river itself was hundreds of metres wide. And it wasn't one of those easy, flowing, gentle rivers. It was fast-flowing with lots of stones and dangerous things in the water for you to bash into. Then, once you got to the other side, the animals had to run up the steep bank to the finishing line, where a throne was set up for the Jade Emperor to wait for them. Are you sure you don't want to make it an eating race? Asked Bramwell. Making us all swim across the river is a lovely idea, of course, but wouldn't it be better to do something that didn't involve us all getting wet? I mean, have you ever smelled a wet dog? It's not very nice at all. Hey, protested the dog. You know it's true, said the cat.
Oh, yeah, and horses smell bad when they're dry, added the lion. Hey, that's rude, said the horse. It's true, said the lion. At least I don't take a bath by licking my whole body with my tongue, said the horse, glaring at the cat. Ah, said the Jade Emperor. That's enough of that, then. I have decided it will be a race across the river, and that is what it will be. The race will take place first thing tomorrow morning. Now, go home and ready yourself for the event. The rest of history will be decided by you. So bright and early the next day, the animals arrived at the start line, ready for the race. The Emperor's assistant held up a flag high. On your marks! Get set! Go! He dropped the flag and they all set off running down the riverbank and splashing into the water. Now, who do you think took the lead? Asked Nanny Piggins. The tiger, guessed Michael. No, said Nanny Piggins, because tigers are just big cats, and cats don't like water. Was it the dog? Asked Derek. No, said Nanny Piggins. Dogs are good runners and good swimmers, but they aren't good at staying focused on the task at hand. When the dog got to the river, he loved splashing about in the water so much, he forgot what he was there for, and he had a lovely time playing instead. Well, was it the horse? Asked Samantha. No, said Nanny Piggins. Horses are fast at running, but to get across a fast-flowing river, you need strength, and no one was stronger than the ox. With his great strong legs, he soon made it across the river to the other bank. He wasn't even out of breath. He just jogged straight up the bank towards the Emperor. So the ox won? Asked Samantha. No, said Nanny Piggins, because there was one animal who hated the water so much he decided not to swim, and that was the rat. Also, the rat was much smaller than the other animals. He knew if he was going to win, it would not be because he ran faster or because he was stronger, but because he was cleverer. So the rat used his size to his advantage. How? Asked Michael. The rat hid in the ox's ear, said Nanny Piggins. Really? Asked Derek. Oh, yes. This particular ox had very large ears, said Nanny Piggins. But surely the ox would notice if a rat crawled in there, said Samantha. The ox did notice that his ear was blocked, conceded Nanny Piggins. But he thought it was a good thing. It meant he wouldn't get water in his ear, so less risk of ear infections. So when his ear was suddenly blocked by something warm and furry, he just thought what a lucky ox he was and dived straight into the water. I think this lack of critical thinking is a key reason why there are so few oxen in the field of rocket science today. Anyway, as the ox ran towards the finish line, at the very last moment, the rat leapt out of his ear and crossed the line just ahead of him. But that was cheating, said Samantha. Cheating or strategy? Asked Nanny Piggins. Definitely cheating, said Derek. Well, the Jade Emperor did not see it that way, said Nanny Piggins, and since he invented the race and the rules, he could do what he liked. He admired the rat's cleverness, and so he decreed that the year of the rat would forever be the first year in the calendar, and that the second year would be the year of the ox. Now, just then, the tiger struggled up the bank. He was exhausted. The water had played havoc with his beautiful stripy coat. He'd had to duck into a hair salon to get a blow-dry before he could finish the race. But he did finish third, and so the year of the tiger became the third year in the calendar. Next was the rabbit. The rabbit had done very well at the run-in, but he got into trouble crossing the river. It was such a strong current, and he was such a small rabbit. He only just managed to save himself by clutching onto a log. So the year of the rabbit became the fourth year in the calendar. Next, the dragon swooped down. Oh, dragon, why didn't you win? Asked the Jade Emperor. You can run, swim, and fly. You had a huge advantage over the other animals. Oh, sorry, said the dragon. I started to fly across, but because I was so high up in the sky, I noticed something the others couldn't see. There was a village in the next valley over, and it was on fire. So I wanted to help, and I scooped up a big mouthful of water and flew it over to put the fire out. But then when I got back, I saw the rabbit struggling in the river, so I blew his log across to lend a hand. Oh, dragon, you are too kind-hearted for your own good, said the Jade Emperor. But you made it, so the fifth year in the calendar will be the year of the dragon. Next, they heard the sound of horses' hooves galloping up the bank. So the sixth year was the year of the horse, asked Samantha. No, said Nanny Piggins. The snake had wound herself around the horse's leg. Just before the line, the snake leapt off. Seeing a flying snake in the air startled the horse. She reared up in flight, and the horse got across the line just ahead. The year of the snake became the sixth year, and the year of the horse the seventh.
Straight after that, the goat, the monkey and the rooster hurried across the finish line. They'd worked together as a team, using a raft to cross the river. The Jade Emperor was so impressed with their teamwork that they became the 8th, 9th and 10th years. Next up was the dog. He finally stopped playing and remembered what he was supposed to be doing. He gambled across the line, making the year of the dog the 11th year in the calendar. Now the 11 animals and the Jade Emperor stood on the bank, waiting to see which animal would be next. They waited and waited. It was hours and there was still no sign of the last two animals. Night was just starting to fall. They were just drifting off to sleep when they noticed movement down on the bank. It was Bramwell the pig.
"Where have you been?" asked the Jade Emperor. "We've been waiting for ages. I may be 327,000 million years old, but that doesn't mean I enjoy having my time wasted."
"Oh, but it wasn't my fault," protested Bramwell. "I meant to run straight down to the river, but I was just about to put my trotter in the water when my nose got distracted."
"Your nose got distracted?"
"Yes, my nose," said Bramwell. "It smelled a particularly delicious sticky rice cake. I don't know quite what happened next. I think I must have gone into a sugar-induced delirium. Because when I woke up 12 hours later, I was lying in the middle of the floor of a bakery being bashed about the head by a baker wielding a broomstick who was very upset with me for eating all the stock in his shop. So I took off running to get away from him. It was only when I swam across the river and saw you all standing here that I remembered I was supposed to be in a race."
The Jade Emperor shook his head in disgust. "Well, I suppose you did finish. So I'll have to name the 12th year in the calendar after you. The 12th year will be the year of the pig.
But where is the cat? She's still not here.
I hope she's all right and she wasn't swept out to sea by the river."
"Oh no," exclaimed Bramwell. "I'm in so much trouble."
"What have you done?" asked the Jade Emperor.
"Well, you see, the cat is such a sound sleeper," said Bramwell, "and she was worried she'd oversleep this morning and miss the race. So I promised her, you know, being a kind pig, that I'd wake her up first thing this morning."
"And you didn't?" asked the Jade Emperor. They all heard a cry coming from the opposite bank. The very angry cat was streaking at full speed towards the river.
"Oh dear," said Bramwell. "Thanks for naming a year after me. I think I best be on my way." He took off running in the opposite direction.
When the others saw how angry the cat was, they all took off running back to their own homes too. And so, from that day to this, the Chinese zodiac has followed that cycle of 12 animal years. Sadly, the cat was not included, which is why every cat in the world has hated Bramwell Piggins ever since. The end.
You know, we were taught that story at school, said Derek, and it was different when they taught it to us, quite a bit different. But the main difference was we were definitely told that it was the rat who didn't wake the cat up.
"Yes, Bramwell put that story about," said Nanny Piggins. "The poor rat really needed to hire a better publicist. The end. Here, have some cake." Nanny Piggins handed Samantha a square of nyangal, and it was delicious. Although as soon as she put it in her mouth, Samantha realized she had a question. Asked Samantha.
"Huh?" asked Michael.
"It's all right, I can translate," said Nanny Piggins. "I'm not just fluent in Chinese, I'm also fluent in someone trying to talk with their mouth full of cake." She asked how Chinese New Year cake came into the story.
"Well, you see, Bramwell didn't want the real truth of what had gone on to get about, so he invented the most delicious but also sticky and gelatinous cake in the world to stick shut the mouths of anyone who tried to reveal his secrets. And the cake was so good that people have been eating it to celebrate Chinese New Year ever since."
The end!
Time for bed. All right, well, that's the end of the story. I hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, goodbye.